Chapter 2, Detroit Police Department Human Psychology 101. After reading this, I'd hope that you get a picture of how the world is set up with its misfits, no matter their station in life. What I'm putting on these pages is a story about something that happened in my life, and what I got away with was a valuable insight into some people's psyche. This particular social issue is one that I'll be sharing with my children. Even though I don't know the proper name to classify it or the clinical term to identify with, I know from a very reliable source and common knowledge that to hold a certain job, taking an oath is a prerequisite, and a lot of people don't care about the oath one way or another. The people that I'm talking about are some who work for the Detroit Police Department. If I knew all of the officers' names who were present at the scene on the day that I'm about to describe, I'd put them on blast. It was at least 13 or 14 of them. It's crazy because I don't even remember the officer's name who actually arrested me for nothing. If it's of some importance to you, my arrest that day is public information, and a simple Freedom of Information Act request would show the name of who the arresting officers were. I can't simply say these officers were unprofessional, because that'll be a major understatement. In 1999, I was 19, and my dude Gerald was 24, a la Meek Mill. At this time, we were living La Vida Loca like a motherfucker. I had to say it like that to clearly express the message that I'm trying to convey. During the springtime, Detroit have days when the weather will make one think it's June or July. We were in the Jeffries Housing Project, sitting in a luxury mobile, sitting in front of my sister's place and smoking blunts. Yeah, we needed some hands on our back because we were definitely feeling ourselves to the fullest. The same two police in a marked car rolled by twice. When that happened, I took my gun inside the house. After coming back out, we started talking about the police being haters because they had to work for a living and us running the street at our own leisure. Neither of us had did anything to our knowledge that would have drew the police attention that day. So our conclusion was that they had to be looking at the car with admiration and jealousy. This wasn't the first time the car was in the projects, so we saw the same looks on police faces before. Keep in mind, this was damn near a brand new Jaguar XJ V12. That alone was enough to draw attention. Not to mention the fact of us being young as hell with diamonds shining and watches not ticking. My sister pulled up while both of us were talking on cell phones. She told us that the police were on the service drive of the Jeffrey Freeway, the other end of the bend, and looking through the binoculars, and I just knew they wasn't looking at us. At least I hoped that wasn't the case. After she went in, GP pulled off and me riding shotgun. This is where it turns into a comedy show. On West Warren, coming out of the parking lot of Farmer Jack's grocery store, we were on our way back to the east side of Detroit, but got stopped at a red light before we can make it. I was talking on my cell phone and with the scene, because that's exactly what it was took place. I'll never forget who I was talking to. It was a woman whose name is Sharissa, who I recently got him back in touch with by chance. Me and my dude was lame framing in a major way, because neither of us knew we were being followed. I'm damn sure glad it wasn't nobody out to knock our blocks off, because if so, we would have been dead as hell. It was just a reminder of no matter how comfortable you feel, it's best to keep your mind clear and unclouded, because we was high as hell, as I remember. I know I was. From out of nowhere, marked police cars blocked us off from three sides. The cops jumped out with their fingers on the triggers of the guns and pointed them at us. People passing by have to have thought the boys in blue finally caught two of America's most wanted. Maybe two of America's most notorious, but not two of America's most wanted. Me and G was looking at the law as if they was running a drill and would apologize to us for such. That wasn't the case, though. It was real. Before they started hollering a bunch of bullshit, we put our hands in the air to be seen because we didn't know what they were on. My phone was still up to my ear with my shoulder keeping to my head so that it wouldn't fall. On the other end, Sharissa most likely heard the shouting and asked me what was up. But before I told her, I dropped the phone, and actually that was the last time I ever talked to her. As if our life was a scene from a comedy show, about three or four phones started ringing at the same time. It was like We were in Master P's movie, I Got the Hookup, because we had at least 10 phones in the center console between the front seats and on the back seat, all minute phones. After the cops told G to put the car in park, they snatched us out of it, and when he complied with their orders, they were all yelling the same shit. He was cuffed and put in the back of a marked squad car, and they cuffed me on the curb in front of the Jag. Instead of them taking us away after arresting us, Detroit's finest got on some straight groupie shit. One officer sat behind the wheel, then started hollering to his partners. These assholes got 100 people calling them right now. When he got out of the car, another officer sat behind the wheel and started adjusting the seat and mirrors. The shenanigans went on until after at least 6 or 7 of them took turns imagining themselves driving a Jaguar. Close to 15 minutes or so later, they were done playing. Then and only after one policeman finished complaining about how he worked for the force for more than 20 years and wasn't able to afford a car like the one he sat in. He then said some other garbage about us not working and having one of them then finally took me to the station. We ended up at the 9th precinct, that's right, in the east side station is where we found ourselves. Remember, we were arrested on the west side of the city, so how was that possible? The only thing that happened to us was that we were fingerprinted. G ended up staying overnight, then got released with no charges. And I got released with no charges as well after staying at the glass house, the 9th precinct, for 3 days. Another thing that I got away from the situation, in addition to what I wrote on the first page of the chapter, is what others almost never see in their life. That day, I saw the look of confusion on multiple officers' faces and the internal conflict in their eyes as they wondered to themselves if they were indeed on the wrong side of the law. After arresting us, they no longer were sure or believed the spiel that crime didn't pay. They were no dummies and knew what we were about, even if they couldn't prove it in a court of law. Funny thing is, we never got the car back.